Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
I was reminded with Craig's message last week that fishing, the fishing analogy and the rocking of the boat. I grew up in the Pilbara and many fishing trips with Dad. 20 mile out, you know, back in the old days, in the 80s, you would talk about miles. Out in the boat, I can remember one story, one time out at Flying Foam Passage. I'm not sure if anybody's aware of that area up in the northwest, but we had the boat vertical. And, you know, just imagine the sorts of risks we took back in those days. And I remember also pulling aside a 9-foot hammerhead at one point. We didn't land that, thankfully, which is good. But I mention that because I suffer seasickness quite badly. My worst seasickness was actually on a trip to Rottnest Island on a barge for 3 hours, and I lost the enamel off my teeth. It was that bad. So that was actually really bad. But Craig's message was very poignant. You know, when life rocks our boat, God is always at work. It's looking at where God is in all of that. Where is God in those times, in our struggles, our trials? And are we willing to allow God to show us new freedoms? I loved that message. Beyond what is rocking us at that time, what is God showing us in all of that? And we can always look at those past revelations of God, where God has actually worked in our lives. There's so much to be drawn from that. Now, from the outset, this message around the theme that God shows no favoritism. We know, I think we have the benefit to know that we are the chosen. Everybody's chosen. Everybody's chosen by God if they respond to the message of Jesus and to the gospel. And of course, the scripture commands us to follow God, to copy God, doesn't it? You know, it was be holy as I am holy back in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it's Jesus saying, follow me, come follow me. Come follow me and become my disciple, be my disciple. The only corrective to favouritism is to live in the power of Jesus, isn't it? To live in the power, let go of our sense of power that we think we might have. Let it die. I'm encouraged by Paul in 2 Corinthians. You know, 2 Corinthians 4 talks about, as death is at work in us, life is at work in others. And that's essentially the message of the gospel, isn't it? And somehow when we live in that, God does an inside job in us. God blesses us in ways that the world can't. So we're very, very much encouraged with the fact that as we live the death of Jesus, his life comes out from us. I want to share a quote with you. Probably the most important quote I've ever had. Jim Elliot, a missionary from who was a martyr, died in the 1950s. A person is no fool if they give up everything they cannot keep to gain what they cannot lose. We have everything that we need, and that's our salvation. Amen. So I'm going to dig straight into the text. So starting at verse 23b. So just to bring you up to speed, we've got Peter is embarking on a journey with Cornelius' men, the men that have come to take hold of Peter and ask him to come to Cornelius' house. So the next day, Peter started out with them. And some of the believers from Joppa went along. Now, this is about a 60-kilometre journey, about a 12 hours on foot. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea, and Cornelius was expecting them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. And in the Greek, it's that he worshipped him. And Peter quickly said, he made him get up, said, stand up, for I am only a man. It's interesting in the different translations, and especially in the English translations, Peter has actually lifted him up. He pulled him up. It's almost like a shock and embarrassment. He's saying, quick, get up before anybody else sees. I'm only like you. I'm no different to you. And it's amazing that there's God's imprint on Peter here. And you sense that there's, and can you imagine this moment between Peter and Cornelius? They are one for another. And I think from a counselling viewpoint, I've done a lot of relationship counselling, and the fact that love crosses a bridge, doesn't it? Love is about crossing the bridge to the other person. And this, in this moment, Peter and Cornelius are enjoying this kind of reverence for each other. Peter is very curious about why he's here, having just had the vision. Now, verse 27. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people, and he said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean." Now, last week, Craig talked about, "Surely not, Lord, surely not." And now, 180 degrees, Peter's theology has, the hard disk of Peter's theology has been completely reformatted. It's been changed. And this is a point in our faith history, isn't it? It's incredible. So commencing again in verse 29. "So when I was sent for," Peter continues, "I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent me?" The interesting thing around all of this is that, we think of Christian unity. Peter and Cornelius, the essence of the intimacy of God with them, and God coming together in two people, that's what our faith is about, isn't it? When we gather together for fellowship outside of the service, and we pray for this earlier before the service, that we would have wonderful interactions, beautiful interactions, that God would be in the midst of it. The cord of three strands, that third cord is God, isn't it? In the midst of us. Verse 30, Cornelius answered, "3 days ago I was at my house, praying at this hour at 3 p.m, and suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea.'" You know, so we have this idea of who Cornelius is. He's a prayerful man. He's a God-fearer. And his heart is for the poor, is to give gifts to the poor. There's something about that you just know that this man is a godly man. And in fact, maybe he's the perfect model for us. You know, Jesus is our model, but let's look at Cornelius. Look at the character of this man. Verse 33, "So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come." Now, interesting, hear this next sentence, there's five pieces of quite absolutist language here. "Now we are all here," so the whole household, "in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." It's incredible. So we've got Peter has an audience ready and waiting for him. They're waiting with bated breath. They're leaning forward. They're leaning forward and wondering what they're going to hear, what they're going to see in all of this. Then Peter began to speak. "I now realise how true it is that God does not show favouritism, but accepts from every nation," interesting this piece here, "accepts from every nation," so salvation is open to all, "he accepts from every nation the one that fears him and does what is right." So there's a bit of a conditional, there's a subset there, the one that fears him and does what is right. And recall again, Cornelius, righteous, God-fearing man, verse 22 of Acts 10. And you've got the whole household there ready for the message. "You know the message that God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Interesting that we talked about persons of peace months ago. You know, God is a missional God. He's seeking out, he's searching out those persons of peace who do right and have a heart for him, who are ripe for the picking. Now, the rest of this piece, this kairugma, this preaching the gospel, this is the gospel message that Peter is preaching here. And I think there are five speeches in Acts that Peter does, and obviously there's many speeches that Paul, and there's others as well. For Acts is a compendium of all of these speeches, all these words from God. So from verse 37, you know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all those who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Just preaching this just straight, because it doesn't need any elucidating. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. No favoritism. While Peter was speaking those words, just imagining that in the Greek here, there's sense that there's something happening in the room. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message, the dynamism of the word faithfully preached. The circumcised believers, the Jews, who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. This is an awestruck moment. There's within this room, what is going on here? What is God doing? And then Peter said in verse 47, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The amazing thing about this is within a short time, you've got a preaching the word, the reception of the Spirit, and now we're organising a baptism. We think about our own faith. It took me months before I became baptised, and I think many times it takes people sometimes years. But in this situation, conversion and baptism are happening straight away, which is a bit of a plug for our baptism conversation that's happening today. Now, no pressure, it's just a conversation, but maybe God might be just nudging you. Maybe he's been nudging you and you've just been thinking, oh, maybe not. But it is a wonderful thing, and I'm not sure if there's ever a better thing to be in church for than a baptism. I just love how God comes into those situations, baptism. So how do we apply this word to our lives? I want to submit to you that we all have biases. We all have biases. We all have unconscious biases, things that are going on within us. And it's okay. It's okay. It's there for all of us. We all have it. So we tend to elevate some people and some situations. We tend to diminish other people and other situations. And sometimes we're not even conscious that we're doing it. Sometimes we don't even see it. But we have that sense that we need to do that. Well, the interesting thing is my father-in-law has got a funny sense of humour. He often says when I agree with him, he says, oh, so I see our prejudices agree with one another. You know, and it's true, isn't it? Sometimes even our views, we are birds of a feather, we flock together, but God is calling us to be holy as He is holy, isn't He? He's calling us to a higher standard. If He's a God of no favoritism, He's calling us to be people who at least are conscious, have the insight, can reflect on how we're feeling about certain people and about certain situations. You know, the golden rule, Matthew 7:12, doing unto others as we would have them do to us. That's a huge challenge, isn't it? Because the way that I would like to be treated, don't always treat people the same way. And it's a way of achieving the love one another new command that Jesus gave, and a new command to give you. Love one another. So that John 13:34-35, a thread throughout John 13-17, quarter of John's gospel. What does Jesus talk about? Love one another. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone, not some people, but everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So everyone is not just talking about people in the church, it's talking about people outside the church. There's an evangelistic thread to this. Our character speaking volumes. This is the gospel. It's the outworking of the gospel. It's the output. It's the outcome of the gospel, how we love one another. It's the product of the gospel. And again, it's living the death of Jesus so others can see His life through us. Now, of course, this is very challenging. I know personally we've had times when I've been deeply hurt. Or times when I've deeply hurt others. How do we reconcile this commandment that Jesus, and not just a commandment, it's a deep wish. It's a deep, deep wish out of the heart of God that we would love one another with a genuine love. It's not always easy, but the gospel is our hope. It's possible, isn't it? I think of verses like, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. As many times I've read that, I've thought to myself, it must be possible. It must be possible because it's written in God's word. And that gives us hope. 2 Corinthians 4:10, Paul says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. Now, he's talking to believers that didn't really believe in him. Believers in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 who didn't think he was impressive at all and were not enamored of him. And yet, Paul in that situation is showing them how to live the power of the life in living Jesus' death, living in it. Indeed, Paul in Philippians 3, 7 through to 11 here. Paul is saying to the Philippians, what is most important of all, he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. I think we all know what that word is more than garbage. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Now hear this piece. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. The righteousness comes from God on the basis of faith. And this is a rich thing here. Romans 1:16, Habakkuk 2:4, right back to Genesis 15:6. This is the theology of faith. This is the theology of Christian faith. Then in verse 10, this is Paul's focus. I want to know Christ. Yes, I'd know the power of his resurrection and linking it. Now know the power of his resurrection and to participation in his sufferings. I don't know about you, but that's challenging. and yet becoming like him in his death, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead, life from death. And that's the gospel. The more we live in this wanting to know Christ, our one and only aim to know Christ, to know his intimacy, to be intimate with him, for him to change me, living by faith in his righteousness alone, the more we will live as equals with a love that can only and does only unite us. You know, there are so many things, there are too many things. As a mediator, as a counsellor, there are so many things that divide us or that can divide us. And you have people who have been in relationship for years, decades, who it's over one issue or over a theme will be divided. And yet one thing unites us. One thing that unites us is we're all human. We're all bearers of the image of God. When Peter says, stand up, I am only a man myself. How we catch ourselves in that humility. That humility is a gift to carry. Do not worship me or anything I do. I'm only like you, no better and no worse. We're all image bearers. I'm going to conclude on this next quote and then just bring a challenge. Because I think we all need to be challenged. Back in 2014, we were at the Baptist Pastors Retreat down in Mandurah, and a pastor by the name of Dale Stevenson from Crossway Baptist Church said he had a whole message on this. He said, "You are not as good as some people think you are, but you're also not as bad as some people think you are." So some in that room at that time needed to be challenged and some needed to be encouraged. But I think we're on a continuum. Sometimes we think we're better than we are. Maybe there's a lot of people who are probably more on the other side of things, don't feel as good as they should be. My wife went to the Essence event a little while back and was given a love heart, and she gave me the love heart as a gift. And in the middle of it, she said, it's a little quote there, and it says, if God was the only one to love you, if God was the only one to love you, like, what, my wife, what about if my wife didn't love me? If God was the only one who would love, if God was the only one to love you, that would be enough. Yes. That would be enough. So, you know, before I offer a challenge for us all, just consider that when we elevate one person or we elevate one situation, we diminish another. That can often be the case. Elevate one and diminish another. So I'm wondering whether there's a situation or a someone in your life that you've got a bias toward, that you kind of favour, a person who is in the receipt of too much. It's unfair to the good, to their benefit. But maybe there's also a person or a situation that's being diminished, that's not getting what they could get. And I just simply want to ask you to reflect on that as we pray. Lord God, we thank you for your example in creation and through Jesus, that you love all. You love all. Even those people we find it hard to like, and we want to find reasons to not like them or to see the bad. And there are others, Lord, that we prefer. Lord, help us to understand that we love you best, Lord. We love you best, our rock and our salvation, when we love our neighbor without any bias or manipulation of any sort. And that outdoing the other in love, crossing the bridge to the other side, taking a faith risk, Lord, is doing what is right by faith. Lord, we can only do these things in your power. We can only do these things by your gentle nudge, and sometimes it's not so gentle. Help us to live bold lives, Lord. Bold lives, or bold moments. Help us to step into these moments, Lord, these times, these places, these situations. Help us, Lord, today, this week. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.